As always, I speak in the name of the one true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Apparently, according to psychologists, until we are up to adulthood, our formative years, or the years when we are growing and developing, are the most defining times of our lives. They have a huge influence on the rest of our life, which is why many of us probably remember so fondly those kind of teenage years. It's why many of us would say that the music or the films or whatever it is of those kind of parts of our life were the best. And each generation is the same. U2 are still my favourite band. Discovered them in 1987 as a 15-year-old, and I've loved the music of U2 ever since. The film that was out in my sort of mid to late teens was a film called The Breakfast Club, and I still love that movie. It brings me back to a moment and a period of time in life. And I share that because as we come to our third hymn writer in our Advent Christmas hymn series, I have to say on a personal level, this person's hymns remain very strong in my memory because many of them were around when I was a very young Christian. I grew up in a family that church was important, but it was only when I was 18 that I really made that step of faith to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And I quickly got involved in the youth scene in and around Dublin. There was a great youth scene in the church and around when I was there. And we often went to many various Christian youth events. And I remember often singing many of the songs that we have sung in church today. So it's been a little bit self-indulgent on one level, apart from the children's hymn. So today has been a trip down memory lane. And the writer that we're going to look at for a few moments is a writer called Graham Kendrick. He has made a huge contribution to hymn writing and songwriting over the last 40-odd years. And I, for an exercise, looked at the back of our hymn book, which credits the various hymns for hymn writers. And between our hymn book and the new supplement, there are at least 15 Graham Kendrick hymns that are there to be sung. I would imagine as many as any other hymn writer that finds their place in our hymn book. And his hymns are sung all around the world. So who is Graham Kendrick? Well, the first thing that I need to say is that Graham Kendrick is very much alive. Many of our hymn writers are not with us anymore, but Graham Kendrick is in his late 60s and he is very much alive. He was born near Northampton in the Midlands of England, and his father was a Baptist minister. In an interview that he gave a number of years ago, he recounted how he had become a Christian early on in his life, and he was explaining how that happened for him. He recalls that his mother was simply reading a bedtime story. And as part of that bedtime story, she was talking about God's forgiveness and the importance of making that personal choice to be a Christian. And when she came to the end of the particular book, she closed the book, and Kendrick recounts that she asked if any of his siblings or he wanted to follow Jesus. And Kendrick says this, and I think it's a lovely childlike way of looking at faith. He said, I was only 5 years old at that time, and I'm sure I didn't understand entirely what it meant, but I did very deliberately decide to pray. I went off to a corner of my room, I knelt down and I prayed, without any expectation that necessarily anything would happen. It was a simple little decision, quite remarkable at that very moment. I knew something had happened. I felt something which quite surprised me. I didn't think I said anything. I wouldn't have known how to articulate it at the time. It was like a sudden excitement deep in my chest. Totally unexpected, because I'd not been given to believe I would likely experience anything. But I knew something had happened, and possibly because I was only five, It was a significant moment, and I still remember it now. Shows the importance of sharing the faith with children, doesn't it? Shows the importance, even at a young age, of understanding what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Quite a remarkable story. He then goes on to talk about his teens. He said that he attended a big comprehensive school in London. Again, in the Baptist ministry, usually you're only 6 or 7 years in any one place. So his father moved around quite a bit, or they moved around quite a bit. And he says that he remembers his school days as being the only Christian in the school except one other person, and that was his brother. No other Christians, no other sign of faith, no other sign of that. He said it was in the 60s and everybody was getting into the free love era. And again, he recalls how that challenged him. It challenged his faith. He said it was a very testing time, but he strengthened his faith through it. From an early age, he showed a talent in music, but he began his early working career as a teacher. However, it was not long before he followed God's call and began to sing what we call Christian pop gospel. I suppose a much more lively or less traditional sense of him writing and singing. And as they say, the rest is history. Graham Kendrick's hymns regularly find themselves in the top 10 of the most favourite hymns that are sung. So what do his hymns express? What do they reveal and teach us about the truths of the Christian faith? Well, the highlight of his hymns usually is around the fact that Jesus is Lord and Saviour. And so they lift Jesus up and he is given his rightful title and place. And they express much of who Jesus was and what he achieved during his time on earth. His hymns express the humility of how Jesus was born in a cattle shed in Bethlehem. Meekness and majesty, he writes. And again, if we think about that for a moment, Jesus has the title of the King of Kings, the King of Heaven. And yet, as he is born, it's basically in a cow shed. He's basically laid after his birth in a feeding trough, not in a royal palace, not surrounded by royal aides, but humbly and meekly. And that's the kind of person Jesus would grow up to be, not being waited on hand and foot, but growing up in a normal family, taking on in his teens a normal trade, a carpenter. And so he writes The Servant King, which we'll sing a little bit later. And again, his hymns highlight and underline the kind of mission and vision that Jesus had. That was to bring a message of love and grace to all people, and especially his heart, to reach out to those who are hurting. And we've just sung the hymn a few moments ago, Beauty for Brokenness. That sense of praying God's presence and alleviating the pain of many people. The hymns tell us about Jesus' willingness to die. And again, one of the hymns that he writes puts it in a very blunt way as he writes the hymn, Led Like a Lamb to the Slaughter. This is a farming community. We understand what it means to bring an animal or to bring a lamb for its slaughter. And that's how he describes Jesus, the Lamb of God. And again, in his hymn, What Love Is This? He calls people to follow and commit their lives to the one who gave his life for many. Far and near, hear the call. And then, of course, many of his hymns express the joy of what it is to be a Christian, to be forgiven, to be loved by God, to be filled with God's presence, to live every day for God. All I once held dear. It's a hymn that says, I lay aside the temporal and the earthly things in my life, all the things that I once held dear, and I commit myself to follow Jesus every day. And again, as I follow Jesus, I want to live like him, to have a heart of love like him. Teach me to dance to the beat of your drum, Graham Kendrick writes. And again, his hymns remind us of the very presence of God with us always. In the good and difficult times, Jesus stand among us at the meeting of our lives. That sense of God being at the very heart of what we are all about. And the first hymn that we sang and began the service with, Shine, Jesus, Shine. That sense of God's presence coming into the darkness and the brokenness of all our lives. So So what is today's focal hymn, the last hymn, about? Make way, make way. It's number 134 in the Church of Ireland hymnal, and it picks up the theme that we read a few moments ago from Luke chapter 4. And in that reading that was read for us, Jesus, as a good Jew, is attending the synagogue. He's there to worship God. And as he is there, his reputation has obviously gone before him, and he is called upon to read what we call the Old Testament. It would have been their current book, and he reads from the book of Isaiah on a scroll. And as he reads, there is a wonderful moment where a promise and a fulfillment come in and meet head to head. As Jesus reads, he sets out what Isaiah prophesies, what Isaiah promises of a Savior coming, of a Messiah coming. And then at the end of the passage, he says these wonderful words, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, here I am, the one that Isaiah promised, the one who would reach out to those who are broken and hurting and lost and imprisoned and so on. And that's the theme that Graham Kendrick picks up in this hymn that we're going to sing in a few moments. He reminds us that Jesus, that we greet as a baby, in 1 week's time, as we greet in the manger on a Christmas morning, is different. Even though he is the King of Kings, he comes humbly, as I've said. We are reminded also of the bigger picture of God's narrative, of God's story. The Christmas story doesn't just stand in isolation. It's part of a bigger story, part of a more significant story. It's easy, and many people like this, just to tell the story of a baby. But it really has little meaning if we don't also understand that story in reflection of the cross and the empty tomb. Because when we see those stories put together, the Bethlehem stable, the cross, and the empty tomb, it reminds us that Jesus didn't come to dwell in high circles. He comes to live among us, to reach out to us, to care for us, to die for us, to redeem us, to love humankind. And that, for me, is the real power and the real depth, not only of the Christmas season, but the bigger picture of God's story. And in response, freely and lovingly, we are called to worship God above all else in our lives, to make way for the King of Kings, to let God's kingdom into our lives so that we can live freely for him. It's a call, essentially, as we sing it now in a moment, to open our hearts and lives to who Jesus born in Bethlehem truly is. Not just a baby, but the King of Kings, to what he's truly done for us in dying and rising again. So as we reflect with thankfulness on the hymns of Graham Kendrick and the huge number of truths that they teach us, I'm going to ask us to stand now and to sing this next hymn, hymn 134, make way for Christ the King, and let his kingdom and his presence enter our lives today, this Christmas season, and always. Amen.